Maulana Habib, and once again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the esteemed listeners. Before I formally commence with my address today, I think I would just like to put on record my appreciation and gratitude to the positive feedback that we've been receiving on different forums and platforms, both personally and to the radio. Without mentioning the names of either of the people, simply because it was quite a few that has come through over the days. And it's always refreshing and rejuvenating to know that it is bringing counsel and comfort to fellow listeners and viewers. That is one of the fundamental objectives of Iman. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. So the word tawasaw is from Babi Tafa'ul in Arabic grammar, which means to mutually encourage and exhort one another towards truth and patience. And the challenges of each person continue in a different way, and it is our moral, ethical and religious responsibility that we endeavor to share in the pain of others. Inna akhaka al-haqqa man kana ma'ak wa man yadhurru nafsahu liyanfa'ak wa man idha raybu az-zamani sadda'ak shattata fihi shamlahu liyajma'ak. Inna akhaka al-haqqa man kana ma'ak. Your true brother and sister is the one that will support you right through times and will not ditch you or launch you or forsake you. Inna akhaka al-haqqa man kana ma'ak wa man yadhurru nafsahu liyanfa'ak. And the one who will take pain upon himself to remove the pain of others. وَمَنْ إِذَا رَيْبُ الزَّمَانِ صَدَّعَكْ شَتَّتَ فِيهِ شَمْلَهُ لِيَجْمَعَكْ. And the one who, when he finds that you have been gripped and you know, you are fragmented, you are broken, you are shattered, then شَتَّتَ فِيهِ لِيَجْمَعَكْ. He breaks himself to gather you, to gather you. So that is our duty, it is sad and unfortunate that seldom do we honor this obligation. And alhamdulillah, we are somewhat trying to do it in this time of the COVID-19, and at the same time give inspiration to people, because we constantly need this. There is a verse in the third juz of the Quran, and again, look at the istidlal of the mufassirin. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said to his disciples, man ansari ilallah, man ansari ilallah. Who's going to help me in the cause of deen? So these are different aspects of deen, and we need to mutually support, complement and assist each other. So in Masail al-Suluk, under this ayah, it is written, جَوَازُ الْإِسْتِنْصَارِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدِّينِ لِلدِّينِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُنَافِ التَّوَكُّلِ. That it is absolutely correct for a person in any aspect of deen to exhort others, to encourage them, to request their aid and their assistance. And it doesn't go against the teachings of relying on Allah. That rely on Allah, but that doesn't mean you cannot mutually take help from each other. And then the subsequent reflection is even more profound than the former one. وَأَنَّ الْمُعَامَلَةَ وَأَنَّ الْمُعَامَلَةَ مَعَ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ كَالْمُعَامَلَةِ مَعَ اللَّهِ. And that your relationship with the friends of Allah is like your relation with Allah. Subhanallah. And what's the deduction here? So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, man ansari ilallah, who are my helpers to Allah? So that releases the hint of the permissibility of seeking help. There's someone in a crisis, he or she needs help. We need to respond. We need to respond. And I also would like to say that, you know what, from my own interaction with social cases, that sometimes people might lag or delay, but they also have their own challenges in life. So, you know, as much as we at times need urgent intervention, but to the truth be told, that we are witnessing a minor form of what Allah described on the day of Qiyamah as, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. That every individual will be gripped by a condition that will compel him and make him or her heedless and oblivious of others. They're so consumed by their own situation. And the truth be told, unfortunately, this is happening. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that innakum mahshuruna yawm al-qiyamati hufatan uratan ghurla, that you will stand up on the day of qiyamah nude, barefoot and uncircumcised. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have returned to us. Laqad, absolutely, certainly. Ji'tumuna, you have come to us. Kama, as khalaqnakum, we created you awwala marra, the first time. So the manner in which you were dispatched as a fetus from the womb of your mother and you came into the womb of this world, pretty much in the same way you will return. And so Aisha radiallahu anha said, wasaw ata. So people will stand up nude, barefoot, unclothed. So that means their bodies will be exposed, O Nabi of Allah. Would it be that one would then get exposed to the private areas of others? Which is a merited question, which is a merited question. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the moment will be so intense that people will be consumed in their own situation. They won't able to look elsewhere. They won't able to look elsewhere. And this is the reality of what we are facing in the world, that every person has his own private, domestic, marital, financial, economical challenge. Then there's the global issues. Then there's so many things happening. Anyway, we learn from this ayah that jawazul istinsar min ahli din liddin, to request fellow believers to aid and support. Listen, we are having a drive to help the poor. Come and join us. Listen, we're going to the doors of brothers to invite them to the house of Allah. Come and join us. Listen, we're having this campaign during the lockdown period. Come on board. And then, wa anna al mu'amalata ma'a ahli Allah, the relationship with the friends of Allah, and may Allah make us His true friends, is like having a relation with Allah, subhanallah. We always know, now look at the deduction, we always know that the friends of Allah are close to Allah, etc. وَأَنَّ الْمُعَامَلَةَ مَعَ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ كَالْمُعَامَلَةِ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Why? Because كَانَ الظَّاهِرْ أَن يَقُولُوا نَحْنُ أَنصَارُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. When Sayyidina Isa said, Man Ansari ilallah, who are my helpers to Allah? So grammatically, the format of that sentence, the reply would be that Nahnu Ansaruka ilallah. We are your helpers and we are your, we will aid you in the matter of Allah. But they didn't say that. They said, Man Ansari ilallah, Qala al-Hawariyuna Nahnu Ansarullah. Replying to Isa that we are your helpers, they said we are the helpers of Allah. So that means, look at the beautiful deduction, look at the beautiful deduction that helping the friends of Allah is like your own relationship with the Almighty. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. So it is our duty to, mutually support each other. Today's verse that I want to touch on before we resume with the ahadith is a verse of the 14 juz of the Quran, chapter 16, verse 97. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in this verse? مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. It is the 14 juz, chapter 16 and verse 97. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ, whoever performs a righteous deed, ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ, provided they are believers, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah with great emphasis say, absolutely, with certainty, we will endow them with a good life. حَيَاةً, life, طَيِّبًا, pure, wholesome, excellent. Now, under this ayah, in many tafaseer, there's a very academic and a very stimulating discussion. What defines a good life? What defines? So this is the unequivocal declaration of the Quran. If you believe in Allah and you do righteous deeds, Allah declares and promises that He will grant you a good life. Some say it refers to a good life in the latter, in Akhirah, but that is the marjuh opinion, the rajih, the overwhelming view of the jumhur mufassirin. The overwhelming mufassirin is, no, it refers to hayatan tayyiba in this world. And then that brings to the fore the million-dollar question on defining a good life. Commonly, averagely, people will define a good life as a healthy life and a wealthy life. But that definition is flawed. That definition is flawed not only from a religious perspective, but even from a mundane and material eye as well. Simply because if you look at the stats of suicide, then it is more rife in affluent communities than those living below the breadline. So that contradicts the definition. Well, you got a good life. Just by human logic, then you got it all going for you. It's set. It's happening. You're on a good wicket. You're healthy. You're wealthy. And it's all happening. And then there are people living in absolute poverty, in absolute poverty. We're talking of social distance now, right? And we know even in our own country where those that are living in very basic accommodation and they have very little to offer, it's literally impossible within their structures. On a recent trip into rural Kenya, about 3-4 months back, when we were inaugurating a village there, and I did an interview. So it was 100 homes, a masjid, and 4 wells, and that constituted one village. And we drove. It was an amazing experience, amazing, amazing in all regards. So a flight from Nairobi to Mombasa, and then from Mombasa we drove day one for like 3-4 hours. We slept over, and then we drove the next day 3-4 hours, because of course the roads, it's rocky terrain. It's not the best of roads to drive on. Long story short, we entered the entire community village. There was the media representation, etc. There was a delegation of speakers, and I was the final speaker there before we kind of handed over the village on the donation of a sister. And all this was, of course, under the banner of Al-Imdad. And I must share this here. The amazing thing, this was a sister who had passed on in the UK. And there was some, it was subsequently discovered that there was some malpractice. So she was then compensated by the state a whopping £100,000, you know, which is a handsome amount. It's like 2 million plus with the current, depreciation of the local currency, much more. And subhanAllah, I met the father subsequently. They decided that their daughter has passed on. Her name was Hawa. And I said to them, and even there I mentioned, Hawa means one who was created from the living. وَسُمِّيَتْ حَوَّى حَوَّى لِأَنَّا خُلِقَتْ مِنْ حَيِّنْ. And I said, your Hawa is still living. She is living. If you go there in Africa and you see it, so each home kind of had a little plaque there that for the Isale Thawab of the sister. Anyway, the family decided to donate the entire £100,000 as an investment in Akhirah for their late daughter. Right? I mean, they lost their daughter, and this was compensation because of some malpractice that was detected subsequently. Anyway, I did an interview in one small hut. La ilaha illallah. It was 40 degrees. It was extremely hot. It was sweltering. It was scorching. We were drenched in perspiration. We had an entire convoy with us here. There was police presence around us. The entire village had come out in their numbers. And I get to the opening of this little hut. And you got to literally crouch and bow down to get in. I get in, and I can just tear now to describe what was the size of that house. If two people sit there and they stretch their feet out, their feet are going to be knocking against each other. And for me, it was a reflection again of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make sajda, ghamazani, he would nudge me, qabadtu rijlayya, then I would withdraw my legs in. Then when he would stand up, I would stretch my feet out. The room being too small to accommodate me, stretching my leg and the Nabi of Allah prostrating. And then I came out, I had a look at it. I said, can I meet the owner of this little hut? And finally he came, and through an interpreter, we started speaking. It's a father, his wife, and 4 kids living in this year. 4 kids. It's probably quarter the size of this studio. Quarter the size of this studio. I hugged him and I embraced him. He cried, I cried. It was an emotional moment. I said, we've come here from South Africa just to let you know. We love you for the pleasure of Allah. And forgive us for coming so late. We have defaulted. And I often urge people, go out, give your zakat by yourself, feel it. Sayyidina Umar observed it, radiallahu anhu. So then I asked him, I said, what do you sleep on? Just to understand it. So they brought the hide of animals, right? The skin and the hide of animals, which is so thin and doesn't have any cushion or any support to it. I asked him through the interpreter, did you ever have an insomniac night? Did you ever have a restless night? Like, for me, just the thought alone would leave me restless. He says, alhamdulillah, we have the most peaceful sleep here. We have the most peaceful sleep here. And then you sit and wonder, really speaking, that, who has life? And these were his words. Allah is very kind to us. Allah has never abandoned us. Allah takes care of us. And you look around, the man has absolutely nothing. So anyway, here's the verse, coming back to it, I digressed and I apologize for that, but I trust it has some reflection and meaning, that the ulama say the definition of a wholesome life is that Allah will give you contentment regardless of your financial standing or your illness, and Allah will give you the ability to focus on the reward promise in the latter world in the situation in which you are. So if you're in illness, you'll constantly say, hey, but I know my Allah's got great reward for me. I know my Allah's got great reward for me. I know my Allah has kept this for me. Yesterday, I touched on the sentiments echoed by this sister who was just widowed 5 days back. And she says, I kept on telling my husband due to the intensity of his cancer. And I said to him, I said, my beloved, my darling, I want you to be happy with Allah. I want you to be happy. And I know that Allah is testing you because He loves you. I know that Allah is testing you because He loves you. So the ulama say these two things define a good life. What is it? You will be happy. Allah will give you divine joy, happiness and satisfaction in that situation. And you'll have ihtisab. Ihtisab is the mental awareness of the reward promise in the situation in which you are. Contrast this ayat with the ayah in the 16 Juz in the 20th chapter. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. And the one who turns his back to me, he will have a straightened life. He will have a narrowed life. Again, some say it refers to the grave, others say it refers to the world. And pretty much they conclude on the same sentiments, that despite having everything, the crave of more, the desire to secure more will create, will leave them restless, will leave them restless. الْعَبْدُ حُرٌ مَا قَنَعَ وَالْحُرُّ عَبْدٌ مَا طَمَعَ. That a slave is a king as long as he's content, and a king is a slave as long as he has greed. And what did Zulaykha say when she seen Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam walking and he had assumed the throne of Egypt? She said, Subhana man ja'ala al-muluka, Subhana man ja'ala al-abida mulukan bita'atihi, وَالْمُلُوكَ عَبِيدًا بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ. سُبْحَانَ مَنْ جَعَلَ الْعَبِيدَ مُلُوكًا بِطَاعَتِهِ وَالْمُلُوكَ عَبِيدًا بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ. All praise belongs to Allah who elevated a slave to the throne because of his obedience, chastity and morality. And equally, it's a point of reflection that Allah disgraced someone who was on the throne to the lowest point because of her infidelity and disloyalty, and she was alluding to herself. We move on with the narrations here, the next hadith here in Shawq al-Watan, and that's hadith number 4 on the strength of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, in which he says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا بْتُلِيَ الْمُسْلِمُ بِبَلَاءٍ فِي جَسَدِهِ قِيلَ لِلْمَلَكِ اكتب له صالح عمله الذي كان يعمل فإن شفاه غسله وطهره وإن قبضه غفر له ورحمه. سبحان الله. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Anas radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, he came into the khidmah of Nabi alayhi salam at the age of 10, and he was 20 when the Nabi of Allah passed away. We heard the famous narration of that I served the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years, and the scholars say he started serving at the age of 10, and then he was 20 when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed on. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, when I afflict, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, okay, that's the hadith we've done before. It's the next hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if a Muslim is afflicted with a bodily affliction, and that's the nature of the COVID-19 situation, it is said to the angel who records his noble deeds that continue recording the pious deeds he committed in the state of good health. If Allah grants him recuperation, subsequently he recovers, well and good, Allah will forgive him and have mercy on him. Allah will cleanse him. And if Allah grants him death, Allah will pardon him. So either way, it is a win-win situation. So I often speak about the retirement package of Allah. People talk of a retirement package, right? And in the retirement package, you got to invest yourself. And then often when it's time to claim, there's so many snags, challenges, clauses which you didn't read adequately and now claim, etc., etc. So here we are told that when a person becomes ill, then the angel is told, اُكْتُبْ لَهُ صَالِحَ عَمَلِي. Continue writing. He is now unwell. He is not in a good condition. His health cannot support him. So whatever good he used to perform would be continuously recorded for him. فَإِنْ شَفَاهُ, if Allah then cures him, غَسَّلَهُ وَطَهَّرَهُ, he's purified from his sins. And if Allah grants him death, then Allah will have mercy on him and enter him into Jannah. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in which he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا. This is the retirement package of Allah. When a servant travels or he or she becomes unwell, then Allah records for that servant what he or she performed while they were at home and they were well. So obviously travel limits you, restricts you, your time, your hours, your travel. It's difficult to continue reading all those awrad and wada'if and all those additional nawafil and optional prayer. So now you're on journey. But the key thing, and I think this is very, very vital for me to share, and Allah puts the thought in my mind now. So currently we are facing a lockdown. And of course, by the limitations of the state, we've been told to perform prayer indoors. Those who used to perform their salah prior to the lockdown with congregation, they will still attain the reward of congregation during these days, even if they are unable to honor congregational prayer at home. But if a person did not perform congregational prayer in the masjid during the lockdown, That is, you know what, just a dream, my brother, to say, well, there's a lockdown and there's a crisis. So now by circumstances, we cannot go offer your prayer at home and you will still get congregational prayer. If you're performing with congregation at home, yes, you will get congregational prayer. But of course, the bigger the congregation, the more the merrier, the more the reward. But if you're performing at home without a congregation, and for congregation, even two forms of congregation, apart from the Jummah prayer, the regular salah, right? So if you perform it with congregation, you will get the reward. Let me be clear on this here. But if you are performing a salah at home and you did not perform prior to that, then there isn't congregational reward for you. And my aim is not to discourage, but my aim is to motivate you so that we hasten in exploiting the opportunity of good before it's too late. So here's the verse of the Quran. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكُ أو يأتي بعض آيات ربك يوم يأتي بعض آيات ربك لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا. الله أكبر. It's a verse of the 8 juz of Surah Al-An'am in which Allah says they delaying in turning. It looks like they're waiting for something, and they could only probably be waiting for one of the major signs of your Lord to come. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكِ, which by the reference of the hadith in the context of this ayah is طُلُوعُ الشَّمْسِ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا. The sun rising from the west is one of the final signs of Qiyamah. After the sun rises, and there's a whole academic explanation to how that will occur, it will dip down and then it will, you know what, rise again from the same side and not move to the east. And there's an explanation to it. I don't want to go into that detail. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي, on that day when one of the signs of your Lord will come, لَمْ تَكُ, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ, on the day when one of the major signs of your Lord comes, it will not avail anyone his faith who had not brought iman previously. أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا, nor will the repentance of someone avail him who did not repent before. So if a person was in worship, then post the sun rising from the west, his worship will still be rewarded because he was doing it from before. Right? In the books of fiqh, we talk about when a person, in Quduri, the masala is there, and I just have a flash of it now. When a person becomes a judge, then it's not correct for the judge to accept a gift from anyone because that person's motive is now tarnished. He wants to curry favors with the judge and so that he will get some favors. However, if someone used to give this person who previously was not the chief justice a gift, then he can continue receiving it because this was a practice that was continuing. We've been told not to fast on a Friday because it is a type of Eid. But if a person was fasting prior and Friday falls in, then it continues. I hope I'm clear on what I'm saying. Anyway, I want to touch on this here again a little more on the beauty of our deen. So you became unwell. And yeah, I want to address our elderly folks. You know, we have a crisis. You'll have the old folks that, subhanAllah, they will exhort themselves to the performance of the 6th fast of Shawwal, which is great. I don't have an issue. But sometimes their health is not good. They need to take care of it. And then you have the young, healthy, active that are battling to fast the Faras fast. So we're trying to tell the elderly, take the concession Allah gave you. It's Allah that gave it to you. It's Allah that gave it to you. You will be amazed to know, you'll be amazed to know in the books of fiqh, and yeah, I reference the famous book Nurul Idah, Abu al-Ikhlas, you know, Hasan al-Wafai, Sharon Bulali, Rahimahullah, under the chapter of Babu Ma La Yufsidu Sawm, on what does not break fast, what does not break fast. He speaks about Man akala nasiyan aw shariba nasiyan, if you ate by mistake. And I hope I can be clear, because generally I dislike addressing a ruling because of its intricate nature. But I just want to show the beauty of Islam. You're sick. Now, even if you are unable to fast your optional fast, Allah has given you the reward. Accept what Allah is giving you. Accept. And I'm telling you, these are two separate scenarios. The youngster, you're trying to motivate him. Listen, you're not so sick. You can keep it. And the auntie and the cha-cha and the ma, you're trying to say, Kaini, awetame, jarak, aram karina ko. And she's, nahi, 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 pachas, warati mara shawal na roza ni gela male dikra, em na wat kar. Em na. I understand, ma, I appreciate. But this is what Nabi alayhi salam said. Right? The qasr in salah. Listen to this, what the fuqaha say. And this is the teachings of our deen, that amongst the things that break the fast is, what does not break the fast, man akala nasiyan aw shariba nasiyan. You ate by mistake, or you drank by mistake, does not break the fast. Now the fuqaha say, in kana linnasi qudratun yudhakkiruhu man ra'ahu ya'kul wa kuriha adamu tadhkirihi wa illam yakun linnasi qudratun fal awla adamu tadhkirihi. This is mentioned in Nur al-Ida. La ilaha illallah. Our deen is beautiful. I was saying to someone, you know, who had a little condition of OCD, that sometimes your OCD condition, and I don't want to be insensitive to anyone who has any condition, may Allah make it easy for everyone. May Allah make it easy for everyone. With the COVID-19, it's glory days for those who have OCD, because everybody is wiping 10 times. Everybody is, you know, washing 10 times, wiping 10 times, keeping safe distance, etc. So each one has their own challenges. But sometimes the devil gets you into repeating your wudu so much and your prayer so much, and then gives you the notion that faith and Islam is so difficult. But Islam is not difficult. Islam is not difficult. Some people feel if you use the public washroom, you have to make ghusl before you perform salah. No, no, no. You know what? I use the communal bathroom. So now you're coming up with your own conclusions. Ghusl is not prerequisite. Of course, purity is important. And merging the two types of purity is ideal. But if you have one that will suffice, فِيهِ رِجَالُ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَرُوا is the verse revealed in the context of the people of Quba. And that was it. نُتْبِعُ الْأَحْجَارَ الْمَا نُتْبِعُ الْأَحْجَارَ الْمَا. So my mind is moving, but it's just an influx of different thoughts here. Listen to this here. The fuqaha say, and I'm coming back to the hadith, if you're sick, Allah's still giving you the reward. Allah's still giving you the reward of all your optional. Yes, your fara'id, you got to work on it. Your fara'id, you're going to work on it. And you got to execute it. And again, there is a breakdown. There is a breakdown. If you cannot stand, you can sit. If you cannot sit, you can lie down, etc., etc. So the fuqaha say, if a person eats forgetfully, there's a difference between by mistake and he forgot. If you eat by mistake, your fast breaks. If you eat by mistake, that means you know you're fasting and you ate. Then, for example, a person is performing wudu and then he's gargling the water and he knows he's fasting, and by mistake the water slipped down his throat, then in a case like that, his fast will break. Of course, there will not be any kafara. He'll just have to keep the one fast, because this is not forgetfulness, this is a mistake. So there's a difference between the two. It's written in the books of fiqh. But you forgot your fasting and you ate. The fuqaha say, in kana linnasi qudratun, if the person who forgot that he's fasting and he ate, yudhakkiruhu man ra'ahu ya'kul. Those that are close by, hey, brother, you fast. Oh, jazakallah, you told me. And then he spits it out. وَكُرِهَا عَدَمُ تَذْكِيرِهِ. And it is disliked and repugnant For those that are present, observing someone who is fasting and he forgot and he started eating, not to remind him. It is makruh on your part. It's your moral and religious obligation. Brother, you are fasting. Oh, okay, jazakallah. Wa illam yakun lahu quwwah. But perchance, the man who's fasting, he's got a bit of a touch of dementia, Alzheimer's. He doesn't know suhoor and iftar properly. He doesn't differentiate between his family and stranger. He doesn't understand consciously, but he's adamant that he wants to get up, or rather passionate, not adamant, passionate. And he gets up and now he starts eating. And you know he doesn't have the strength. The books of fiqh say, فَالْأَوْلَىٰ عَدَمُ تَذْكِيرِهِ. Then it is better not to remind him. And after he finish eat, then you say, Chacha, I think you've, oh yeah, yeah, you see, you're right. Yeah, yeah, I was fasting. You remind him after he finish it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. I'm saying our deen is simple. The last words of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu when he was going, Yassira, wala tu'assira, bashira, wala tunaffira. Mu'adh, you go in, when you come back, it will be my masjid and it will be my grave and you will not see me. Asa alla talqani ba'da ami hada la'allaka tamurru bi masjidi wa bi qabri. And then he said, Mu'adh, make it easy for people. Don't make it difficult for people. Give people glad tidings. Don't drive people away. I always say to people, whenever I counsel them and they have a challenge and a situation, I said, see, humans you have to give explanation to. Allah doesn't need an explanation. Rabbukum a'lamu bima fi nufusikum. Your ustad called you, your mom called you. Now your mom or your dad or your teacher thinks you didn't come. You say, wait, hang on. I know you tried to call me, but actually at that moment, just hear me out. You don't have to give an explanation to Allah. Allah knows the sequence of your life. Allah understands your situation. Allah knows you intended fasting. And Allah is most rewarding. So the hadith is here that when Allah tests his servant and he's unable to perform any additional actions, the angel is told, "Uktub lahu saliha amalihi," continue writing. And then in that, if there is cure for him, then alhamdulillah. And if there is, then it's atonement for his sins. And if it is death, then it is Jannah for him. And like I told you, the retirement package of Allah, that when you age, for the rest of your life, Allah will record for you all the good deeds that you did in your youth. So my young brother and my young sister, this is your time. Exert yourself. Later in life, you won't able to stand the long rakats in prayer. But remember, if you stand it now, the reward will continue. May Allah grant us the beauty of our deen, that we can exhibit it correctly and convey it correctly as well. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ad-Deenu Yusrun. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.